So I'd have to say that Psalm 84 is one of my favourite psalms. Originally, it would have been written for an occasion where pilgrims would be coming into Jerusalem. There were several important religious festivals where those who were devout Jews would be required to come to Jerusalem, offer sacrifices. And these would be one of the psalms that perhaps would be sung as they came towards Mount Zion, towards the temple. So there's a sense of anticipation. The pilgrims are looking forward to being in the temple. I find it quite interesting that in this psalm, there are three declarations. Oh, sorry, thanks, Stephen. Thank you. There are three declarations of a state of blessedness. So there are three states or attitudes that we can adopt as followers of Jesus, as those who worship the living God, which will contribute to a sense of being at peace, being in a right relationship with God, knowing joy, knowing that we are fulfilling the purpose for which He has created us. And you might have noticed these in the psalm. The first one to do, thank you, Stephen. The first one is to do with dwelling. And the second one is to do with journeying. And the third one is to do with trusting. And the title of this, you know, going from strength to strength, it sounds terribly sort of active. You know, we should be really out there doing the stuff, journeying, doing the business. But it's really interesting to me that these three states requires us to be still, requires us to be quiet before God, requires us to be listening. Reminds me a bit of Mary and Martha. Martha frenetically rushing around, but actually Mary was doing the thing that blessed Jesus and was going to be a blessing to her, being still and receiving from Him. So we're going to start off. Thank you, Stephen. You had the slide there about blessedness, I think, was the second one. Just that state, so... these three things would contribute to a sense of being contented, joyful, secure, fulfilled. And the first one of these, thanks Stephen, is to do, we'll have the next slide, thank you, is to do with dwelling. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. And dwell is a lovely, lovely word, isn't it? I mean, it suggests a state of being secure, settled, making your home somewhere where you intend to stay. You're not kind of sofa surfing or, you know, kind of knowing that you're going to be moving on the next day. It's somewhere where people can find you, where you can unpack things and bring together the scattered fragments of your life. I am speaking with a lot of feeling here. Some of you will know that for a number of years, in fact, ever since I came to Dundee, I've been quite temporary. In fact, I had a little spell in the manse, believe it or not, for a few months, and then the Stibbles, and I think Ronnie helped me to move up to Cleghorn Street. But recently, I have actually, I bought a house, and it feels very, very different. I am now dwelling in what is, I hope, to be a permanent house. And I've been very grateful to people in this congregation who've stored my belongings. I'm looking at the MC Smiths and Rosalind and Piers and Maureen had my bike. All my things were all over the place. There's been something very special about bringing together fragments of my life. And just that sense, I'm going to dwell, I'm going to be there. And the psalmist talks about the blessedness of being dwelling, being settled in that place where God dwells. That's where God is. He is to be found. He's not a kind of absentee landlord. He is there. He's there to receive. He's there to listen, to be with us. And his whole being longs for that place where he can dwell, where he can be settled, where he can feel secure, where he can feel that he belongs, and where he can be in the presence of his living God. And he expresses it in the psalm. He talks about my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. But actually, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's what he's longing for, not so much a place, but it's the experience of being in the presence of the living God. There's that real homesickness for God. And, you know, it's not surprising. St. Augustine says, you have created us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. So until and unless we come to that place where we can truly dwell in God's presence, we will be restless. We'll be seeking here, there. What is it that's going to bring rest, fulfillment? Is this the answer? Is that the activity? Is that the career? No, it is the living God. It's that ability to be in the presence, dwell in the presence of the living God. Some of you might know the Christian band Rend Collective. Anyone know Rend Collective? These kind of funky right on people. Well, no, I only know about them because my nephew told me about them. But they have a song which is a really special song. And it's called I'm Coming Home to You. So the songwriter is actually talking, it's a song of worship to God. And the words are, I'm coming home to you. You are where I belong. I love that. You are where I belong. It's not a place. It's that relationship with God. That's where we belong. That's where we find security. That's where we have that sense of rightness. And then the song goes on, true love is calling, I'm coming running home to you. Though I am broken, grace is my welcome home to you. You are the guiding star that I'm chasing home to you. Like a wave to the shoreline, I'm coming crashing home to you. I love that picture because obviously waves go away, but there's that something that will draw them. The laws of nature draw them back. And there's something that will draw us back to God. That's where we were created to be, home with God. And forever praising God, engaging in the purpose for which we were created. Westminster Confession, or a catechism, says, man's chief end is to glorify God, is to connect with God, to recognize who he is, to worship him and enjoy him forever. So the psalmist then have that picture of dwelling in God's house. And when he's there, he's glorifying him, he's praising him, he's doing what he's supposed to do as a human being created in God's image. And the significant thing, Piers talked earlier on about the swallows and the sparrows, it's very interesting, isn't it, that it mentions that their nest is right next to the altar. These fragile, vulnerable little creatures, they're beautiful, but they're so fragile. They can be secure because they're right next to the altar. And you know, there's something there for us. We come into God's holy presence. We can dwell. We can be there only because of the altar, only because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, because of his shed blood, because he made the way. I just find it quite interesting, you know, when Jesus is about to be taken away to be crucified, the disciples are really stressed and agitated. And Jesus says, look, don't let your hearts be worried. And he says, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So actually, he talks about what is about to happen to him, his death, his resurrection, as a way in which the way is going to be made to God's house, to his presence. It's through Jesus' sacrifice, it's through the altar that we can come into God's presence and dwell there in the presence of holy, almighty God. And it's really good that we remember that as we come to worship. It's only because of Jesus that we can dwell in the presence of holy and almighty God. Thank you, Stephen. So the second thing then is journeying. Blessed are those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. I mean, dwelling in God's presence is wonderful. It's refreshing. It's sustaining. We renew our strength. But actually, as followers of Jesus, we are called to journey. We are called to be active. And it's a pilgrimage. It's a long journey. It's not just a wee Sunday stroll. It's a journey that has overtones and associations of a walk, which is an act of religious devotion. And some years ago, I can't remember the exact year, but I was part of a group that went from Steeple. I think Katie, you organized it. It was a St. Columba's Way from Iona to St. Andrews. And that was quite a long walk. And I think a couple of things that really struck me about that walk. Firstly, we were a group of people, and I think we are meant to journey together, because you would get up one morning and you would just not be in the mood. You'd just think, I really don't, you know, I can't be bothered. But there were people there who would encourage you. You would chat to them, and there would be something about that dynamic of being in community that really helped on the way. It was really quite significant. But also, there are those times where things will be different, difficult. We see there'll be times where it's just glorious. The scenery is incredible. The sun is shining. The wildflowers are just astonishing. And we have a sense of God is there. He's blessing this. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience to be journeying with God. But there are times when we truly have to set our hearts on it. And to set your heart on something means that you are being very determined. You're being focused. You are doing a long obedience in the same direction. You will realize that there will be times when it is tough, when it will not be fun. You are setting your heart on it. And obviously, it's great to be with people, and there is encouragement, but sometimes we will face challenges and trials which will be unique to us. And of course, we can know the encouragement of others, but it's at those times that we need to know God's strength, his sustaining. It's quite interesting that we hear about people, pilgrims, us, going through the Valley of Baca. It's a place, it's of desolation. It's just a dreadful, dry, dreary, awful, awful place. But what we hear is, as pilgrims go through this place, and I would suggest as we trust in God, it can become a place of springs. This dry, desolate place can actually be a place where we experience God's refreshing in a very strange way. In fact, in ways that perhaps it's not possible to experience it at other times. At times of extreme challenge, we can know God's comfort, his consolation pouring into us. And there's some lovely verses in 2 Corinthians which talk about this dynamic, which I think is a really, really key one in the Christian life. And it talks here about, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we are received from God. And it talks about the comfort overflowing. And I suggest that that is what brings springs in the Valley of Baca, receiving God's comfort, receiving his grace. And as we receive, I think all of us may well be aware of times when we've had to receive God's encouragement and grace, and then he has actually brought us in contact with somebody who needs a similar kind of grace and encouragement. The Valley of Baca can be a place of real experiencing of God's goodness and grace. Some of you will, I'm sure most of you have heard of Joni Erickson. She's a quadriplegic, had a terrible accident as a teenager. And she has a very fruitful ministry now. She became a Christian believer. And she has had to really understand that dynamic of God's grace. And she has a tremendous ministry worldwide, encouraging people who are facing challenges of all kinds. And Joni says, "The weaker I am, the harder I must lean on God's grace. The harder I lean on him, the stronger I discover him to be, and the bolder my testimony to his grace." So her weakness causes her to have to receive from God in very significant ways so that she, in turn, can give out to others. I love, too, the idea that God's grace is like spiritual endorphins. I know some of you are kind of sports people here, but I think the thing about endorphins, I'm not a scientist, but my understanding is you're doing a physical activity and you get to the point where you just think, I cannot do this any longer. I've absolutely had it. And then your body kicks in and starts pumping endorphins in and it goes, oh yes, you can. Here's a little bit of extra energy. And you can keep going when you've hit that wall. And I think that God's grace is like that. Sometimes we're in situations where we just think, I can't do this. I cannot forgive that person. I just can't go on being gracious in this situation. I can't have faith for this. But as we look to God, as we trust in him, we are given the grace, the spiritual endorphins, and we can continue on the pilgrimage. Thank you, Stephen. Finally, so we've had blessed are those who dwell, blessed are those who journey, because they have to experience God in his grace in a particular way. Blessed is the person who trusts in you. Do you know, we're in a culture, aren't we, at the moment, where we're becoming increasingly paranoid, distrustful, suspicious. We are being taught not to take things at face value. The basic assumption is that people are not to be trusted. They're out to exploit us or take advantage of us or steal our identity or hack into our bank accounts. They are charged ridiculous amounts of sum for shoddy workmanship. We look at the world through a lens of suspicion. So this idea of trusting is quite a big one. The psalmist says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, and he gives reasons for it. He said, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And the sun, as we know, the sun gives light. It helps growth. And this brought home to me in a new way. It's to do with my new house again. As Piers and Maureen very well know, because they were involved in a bit of an activity, I had a bit of garden at the back. It was like a plot. And it was covered over with blue plastic, quite thick blue plastic. And on top of the blue plastic, there were pink chuckies, you know, totally, totally covered over. And there was no way anything could have grown. Nothing was supposed to grow. And I'm keen to grow things there. I'm keen that, you know, we can have flowers. So Pearson Morning came and put in a very back-breaking morning and helped remove all the chuckies and put them in bags and taking up the plastic. So to let the sun in, to allow growth and light. And you see, I think that's true of our own lives. As we come to God, as we allow him to move the stuff that deadens our spirits, that keeps us from growing. He will do that. He wants to give us life. He wants our lives to bear fruit for him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Lord God is a sun, good, life, growth. And he's a shield. And we need a shield because God, we have an enemy. We have an enemy who doesn't want us to journey. This enemy would really like us not to trust God. This enemy tells lies. His biggest lie is God is not good. God is withholding good things from you. He actually doesn't know what you need. He just wants you to struggle and suffer. You probably need to take your own life into your own hands. Yeah, I mean, that's what he did in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Came to Adam and Eve and he said, you think God's good? Well, actually, you've got it wrong. See that tree that he told you not to eat from? It's because he knows it's the best tree. And you should jolly well just, you know, take things into your own hands. They fell for the lie. They believed God was withholding. They believed that he didn't want the best for them. And we are living with the consequences of a fallen, broken world. Human beings that were separated from God, who experienced death, illness, all kinds of dysfunction. I mean, God's mercy, he is redeeming. But that was the lie. And God's enemy comes at us with that lie. We can't trust God. The Lord gives us a shield of faith. And it's important that we put that shield up and we say, no, we believe in our God, whose plans for us are plans for good, not for evil. Plans to give hope and a future. He is not a God who will withhold. He's given us his only son. Why would he withhold anything else? And we declare the truth in the face of this lie. So, this morning, we are people who are blessed as we dwell in God's presence, as we experience his nearness, as we hear him, as our hearts rest in him. We're blessed as we journey together, as we experience his grace in times of challenge and suffering. And we are blessed as we trust in him to bring life and growth, and as we trust in his protection against the lies of the evil one. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Let's pray.